Cam Meller, college football analyst for Pro Football Focus. He's on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Cam, welcome aboard.
I appreciate it as always. Happy to be back.
Yeah, nice to have you. So we know that Joe Burrow will be the overwhelming winner of the Heisman Trophy. But when you start breaking down the seasons he's had against the defenses he's played, and then Justin Fields in his season and Jalen Hurts and the rest, like, where do these guys stack up when it comes to the defenses they played and the seasons that they've turned in?
You know, they've each had their moments. They've each had their time to shine on against, you know, Heisman-worthy defenses, if this is the conversation you have at this point. You know, Burrows are a little bit more numerous, I think, just in the fact of where he's done it, how he's done it, if you even start back at week two against Texas. But, you know, you look at it and you look at our numbers, and there's a legitimate shot for Justin Fields as the overwhelming favorite if it weren't for Joe Burrow and the way he did it this year. Because if Burrow's not number one in one of our categories, whether it's, you know, I went deep into the PFF data that we have and I looked at it, you know, who was the best targeting passes to every level of the field. I went, you know, under pressure, when he was kept clean, on straight dropbacks, designed rollouts, scrambles, it didn't matter. I filtered everything down, and if it wasn't Burrow, it was Fields that was, you know, one or number two overall across the entire country. So had it not been for Burrow, I think this was Fields' trophy to lose at this point of the season.
You know, how tough would it have been, Cam, for Chase Young to win it, you know, given the fact, like, all these metrics you're looking at, it's easy to compare apple to apples when it's, you know, three quarterbacks that are up there. But then you throw a defensive player in the mix, like, and that's even crazier than a running back because you're trying to figure out how you quantify their impact on a game outside of just your eyes. You know, how difficult would that be?
I think it would have been really, really difficult, even if he didn't miss the two games. I think it would have, you know, for the general box score scouts and the general voters that, you know, didn't watch an OSU game all year and only queued up the highlights, he would have needed to have, I think, 25 sacks, I think, in that point, because, you know, that's unfortunately to the level of where we are right now, as good as it is and as well as you can see film on any player you would ever want to across the internet nowadays, you know, they're still going to miss the fact that he was the most dominant player in all of college football, in my opinion. He's our highest graded player across no matter what position you play in, setting records in our college database in terms of overall grade from a defensive player and pass rush grade. So, you know, we have him there. I think, you know, he's a little bit more of the splash plays, a little bit more of the dominant games like he had against the Badgers the first time around. That was I think he needed a few more of those or string a few of those back-to-backs. That way he kept getting the national attention because it's super difficult. I mean, that's why we've only seen it happen once for a defensive player to win the Heisman.
We knew Joe Burrow. We knew him for a moment in time. And maybe if he didn't break a bone in his hand in the spring or something may have changed, who knows, maybe he wins the job and he's doing this at Ohio State. Maybe Justin Fields is never here. I don't know, but we know the story now. This is a kid that will be written nationally as didn't win the job at Ohio State, left, won a Heisman, elevated an SEC team to national title contender in a number one seed. Perhaps we'll get a shot at his former school where he left. It's one of these stories that you couldn't – it's life imitating art, isn't it? And I'm just going to ask you, from a Burrow standpoint, Bobby and I knew he could run. We knew he could make people miss a little bit. But his ability, the confidence that he has given LSU, and for him to escape, like, when you look at Joe Burrow's season, what is the most impressive thing to you about it?
I think it's just kind of how it didn't necessarily come out of nowhere. I mean, you go back into the time. I actually lived in Columbus back in the time and worked in a company that we tracked high school sports stats for football. And so, you know, he was on the radar when he won Mr. Ohio football back in the day. So it wasn't that he didn't come out of nowhere. He was, you know, an above average quarterback last season at LSU. It was the way that he came about it this year. It seemed like an outlier the first one or two or three weeks. And then you realize the Joe Brady offense and the way that he was doing it and putting these games together. It was not a fluke. This was a season that, you know, this is sustained. This is a level that you can look at it and say, hey, I'm going to draft this guy number one, and this is exactly the offense I'm going to run. It's a pro-style offense. It's beautiful. It's a perfect 2020 NFL offense, in my opinion. So I think that stands out the most is that it seemed like an outlier, and now it just has become, you know, this is the floor for Joe Burrow at this point because this is just how good he is. But, I mean, that and then the way he deals with pressure, it's a super volatile stat from week to week usually, but Burrow has been the nation's highest graded quarterback under pressure all season long. So for him to contain or, you know, consistently get that level of play win under pressure. He doesn't have the best line in front of him. That's probably LSU's biggest weakness. So for him to do what he's done under pressure, I think that's the other thing that jumps out.
And so, Cam, as you begin to look at these, you know, college football playoff matchups, especially, you know, the semifinal games, you know, Ohio State opening up a 2-point dog to Clemson. At least that's where it was last time I checked. I mean, where do you see the strengths for Ohio State, the weaknesses against Clemson? I mean, how do you kind of foresee this game going early in your evaluation?
I think this is definitely, I mean, it goes without question. I think the best defense that Trevor Lawrence will have to play, you know, he did look shaky to start the year, but he's really rattled off levels of play in straight games since that forgettable quarter against Louisville that I think, you know, he's proven that he is the best player on his team, which is a team that's star-studded with NFL draft picks again. But I do think that that is probably the biggest weakness and the biggest advantage, I think. As good as Lawrence is, this is the best secondary he's faced. And if they can force him to make some errant decisions like he did against Syracuse, like he did against Texas A&M, I think there's a chance that, you know, you can limit this guy and limit Trevor Lawrence and what he can do for you. But then you have to stop Travis Etienne, which, you know, I do think that the linebackers and the safeties that OSU has, they can kind of contain him, even though he is the nation's most elusive running back. So it's containing their stars, but I think that OSU's defense has the horses to run with them.
Yeah, we do too. I mean, it's an evenly matched deal in any other situation. I mean, if we were in the BCS era, who's playing? What do the computers spit out? Is it Ohio State, LSU, and Clemson's on the outside? Because that's what I would think.
Absolutely. I think it does fall in line with where they are ranked-wise. But I think, yeah, it would have to be OSU, LSU playing out of those conferences with the schedules that they had against, you know, versus Clemson's one scare against North Carolina and the way that they rattled through the ACC. Yep.
Yeah, that's why when I saw, like, ESPN throw up, you know, should Clemson, do they have a right to complain? I'm like, you thank your lucky stars you're not in a BCS era. Because that schedule doesn't get you even sniffing a championship game, especially the scare against North Carolina. That's why I thought of all the things that Dabo, like, you had the schedule that LSU and Ohio State would have obliterated as well. And maybe they wouldn't even have had a scare. But Clemson's a great team, taking nothing away from them. They may win it all. They got there at bat because they're undefeated, they're defending national champ, and they were killing all these bad teams at the end. So, at the end of the day, who do you think is playing for the title?
Unfortunately, I just can't see a world that Trevor Lawrence doesn't put up one of those insanely high-graded games that he's had just because of the track record. I think this one is close. I think the line is probably pretty accurate, a 2-point line, 2-point game against whomever pulls it out. I do right now, though, unfortunately, I would have to say Clemson just because of Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, he's looked, since week 8, he has been the highest-graded quarterback so far ahead of everybody else, and he's actually climbed back up to a tie with Jalen Hurts for third highest graded quarterback in the country. So that is taking apart a terrible game against Georgia Tech to open the year for him, and he's been that good over the last stretch. So I would have to side with Trevor Lawrence as the better quarterback, unfortunately, even though the full season's worth of data points to field. But Lawrence, I think, gets it done in the end, unfortunately.
He's Cam Mellor, lead college football analyst for Pro Football Focus College Football Edition. Cam, great stuff. We'll have you back soon. Enjoyed it.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Cam was on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline.